Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Welcome everyone here to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. I'm Heather Choate and I'm finally back with Mark Johnston. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. It's great. Good to have you back here. It's been a little while since we've done a podcast together.
Yeah, this summer has been one of immense growth. And we've been doing a lot of different things and glad that we are able to come on the podcast together. So today we're going to be talking about what to do when your spouse doesn't trust you. Maybe they don't believe what you say. Maybe they even get a little bit paranoid. Before we get to that, though, we wanted to be able to share our client win of the week. This one we're going to say is anonymous, but it was a weekend full of wins, she says. Spent the full day Saturday and the full day Sunday together. Well into the evening. There we go. It was the best weekend we have had in months. She says, I didn't push. We just had fun, spent all Sunday at the beach with our youngest child, and then I cooked dinner. But when I linked arms with him at the beach, I did feel him recoil a little, but I didn't think anything of it at the time. Clearly, I overstepped the mark too soon. He backed off a little on Monday and again wasn't as chatty yesterday. Today, he messaged saying he wanted to chat without the children around about the finances, etc. And he said during the chat, he doesn't think he can get past some of my negative behaviors. So I love that this is a win here because it's a very real, honest, like real life kind of situation.
Now, I actually chose this one because it was a mixed win. Now, we could have chosen any number of just glowing wins from the group. And that's what we tend to do with these. We tend to say, okay, here's this huge win. Like my spouse put their wedding ring back on. They're saying they want to get back together. We have lots of those. But this one was a little bit mixed. And part of the reason why I wanted to highlight this one is to highlight that it still is a win. Simply because, and I like to recognize these things when I'm working directly with my clients, that it demonstrates that there is some comfort together. You know, there are other concerns, but, you know, that's always like a big first step with a lot of the people that I work with. We try to say, okay, well, are there huge sources of pain that really create a lot of tension and, you know, prevent any amount of connection? Well, it seems like this person here, she has gotten through a lot of that. Of course, there's more steps to go, and she does need to clear away some of these underlying concerns before they can really start to connect and grow close together. But like I said, I wanted to highlight this because she started to pull away from the idea that this was a win when it really is. And as I said, it's because it demonstrates that comfort, the ability to spend time together and build up a connecting experience. So
yeah. I agree. And I love that she understands the idea of not pushing. So she's really understanding what needs to happen here. And this is why we encourage our clients to share a daily win, because sometimes we think that we can only celebrate when we're at the top of the mountain peak, right? When the divorce is completely over, you know, not being talked about anymore, it's dissolved or whatever is going on, right? And the wedding rings are back on, they leave the affair partner, and all of those things are important. Yes. But when you're in the daily struggle, it's so important that we train our minds to see what's going right and to recognize progress, because it is there more often than not as you're following this path process. So I love this one. And I know that she's on the right track and that more good things are to come for her as she continues to stay consistent to the method. All right. Now, we did something kind of interesting, okay? We wanted to see what the most popular post in our Thriving Marriage Facebook group was. Okay. So I did a little bit of market research and I pulled it up in our group insights. And this was the post. And I realized, you know, if a lot of people are commenting on this, then there's something that's resonating with you guys and it's going to be pretty applicable. That whole idea of my spouse doesn't trust me. They don't believe what I say. I'm really not doing these things that they're accusing me of. And they're even maybe getting a bit paranoid or definitely like, how do I handle this situation? And so we're not really talking about if you have broken trust and now you're trying to restore it. We've covered that in previous podcasts and we can go deeper into that another time. But this is more if you really haven't caused a huge breach in trust, but your partner is really making a lot of accusations. Okay. So I'm gonna kind of
a quick comment. So we were talking about this right before the podcast, and you know, it's not obvious how this is applicable right away. I want to say that right off the bat. But, you know, like Heather was, you're saying, there are some pieces of this that can be applied. And like I said, it's not super obvious. So as you pointed out, there are a lot of you out there that are dealing with issues of trust. Your spouse perhaps not believing you, not believing in changes, not believing and whatever might be going on. So, as we read through this post, I want you to keep that in mind.
All right, cool. So this is from a member of our Thriving Marriage Facebook group, going to leave them anonymous, but it's a female. And she says, in need of advice, my marriage is in severe trouble. My husband is convinced that I'm cheating on him. I am not, nor have I ever. So he's placed recording devices around the house and is convinced he can hear me engaging in sexual acts while he's off running errands or working in his building. And so continues to go through, that's just a short amount of time. And then he says that he hears these sounds of these different sexual activities going on. He says I can hear it, but I just won't admit it. He leaves me very hateful letters accusing me of cheating and to admit it or move out. He also hangs out of my work spying to see if I'm talking to someone else. The thing is, there's never been any evidence, messages, phone numbers, unaccounted time that has led him to accuse me of cheating, but he is truly convinced that I am. Now, here's an important part here that I want to talk about. My feelings for him are changing because of this. I'm falling out of love with him because of all of this. It is so stressful to be around him because I never know what to expect. He refuses to get any help. He claims his behavior is all because of me. There is so much more, but just too much to list here. That's the main issue. Should I just give up and walk away from my marriage, or is there something I can do to make him see that he needs help?
Great. What I want to pull from this and what I do think is widely applicable is, you know, one, I think you mentioned this, like you said, this is why you picked this out, is should, you know, she's starting, her own feelings are starting to change. That's one. Number two is, you know, dealing with a spouse who, where they need to make changes themselves. And number three, there is this huge issue with lack of trust. And so if we're pulling out, okay, like what are these widely applicable principles? I think those would be the big ones here. So I want to just kick this right off. And Heather, I want to discuss why this sort of problem happens. Now, specifically what I want to talk about is here is this dynamic where she knows that she hasn't done what her husband is accusing her of, but as she's defending herself, it just makes her husband more upset. You know, it might make sense. Okay, I need to tell him that's not the case. So this is a really interesting thing that we see a lot in these, not this exactly, not like, you know, where there it's gone to the extent where there's recording devices and, you know, hanging outside of workplaces, but the same sort of idea is present. And Heather, I want to just get your thoughts on this. Why do you think that her husband wouldn't believe her on this?
Well, you know, the idea that she's saying that he probably needs to get some help, we both discussed this before, is probably accurate. There's probably some mental health things going on there that is causing this paranoia. But on a more general scale, like if you have a spouse that's really disbelieving you, just coming back to what I know from a mindset perspective and from I know you have roots and deep roots in psychology and everything, but there's this idea of projection. And so maybe that's something that we can talk about a little bit, but I know working and talking with a lot of our clients that sometimes the things that we're the most insecure in ourselves are the things that we're bringing to our spouse. And there's this idea of projecting that what I'm struggling with is obviously what you're struggling with. So we kind of project our own issues on our spouse because we think that if I'm dealing with that, then they are too. So how common is that, Mark? And could that be an underlying element here?
I do think that that's a possibility. When we go through these sort of situations, if like a client came to me and presented this sort of problem, I like to rule out rule out different possibilities. So the first thing, I'd probably rule out is like, okay, is there a history of mental illness, just like you mentioned? But in terms of projection, that's also something that I would want to rule out. If the husband himself had a lot of suspicious behavior and had a lot of unaccounted time, that might explain some of this, but probably not to the extent that it's been pushed so hard. Mm-hmm. So it might explain part of it, but not the other part. And I think that this is much better explained by what's going on in terms of defensiveness. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at this from, taking this from John Gottman's theories, and he talks about different big causes of divorce, the four horsemen of divorce, one of them being defensiveness. Now, one might say, okay, it should be okay to defend yourself, especially in this case where she's saying, I haven't done anything wrong. And that's not itself the problem. It's like defending yourself isn't so much the problem, defensiveness is. And the difference here is that throughout all of this, she's not considering why he might be worried about this or where this worry might be coming from. She's not really validating the concern. And validating doesn't mean saying, you know what, honey, you're right. I am cheating. That's not validation. It's saying, hey, this is a big fear of yours and I want to help you with this. And I'm taking this seriously with you. So that would be my suspicion with a lot of these interactions where he's saying, see, here's this evidence. And even though he's not right, even though there isn't actually any whispering or writing notes, one way that the big problem here is that it is all escalated because he is not feeling heard. Hmm. And the more that she pushes back against him, it's going to keep escalating further. That's why he says, it's gotten to the point where he says, okay, she either needs to admit the truth or move out. It's all because he's not feeling heard. And let's say that, let's even pretend that both of them walked in together. And immediately I saw the problem is like, okay, he's being a bit paranoid. If I immediately said, Mr. Smith or whatever his name is, I don't think that's the case, he would immediately dismiss what I'm saying and he would not listen to me at all. And, so as a coach here, I would, need to take some time to say, okay, I want to understand where this fear is coming from. And I do think that that's the case here with her. And that's why it's gotten to this level.
Right. So as you're saying that, isn't it that it's feeding into the story, right? He has a story about her. We go to the PATH method, right? He's got this really strong story. And what we've talked about with our stories, right? So think about why your spouse is saying, like, what are their reasons justifying what they're doing? So whether it's true or it's not, or it's a mix of both, right? Because it could be completely true, it could be completely untrue, or it could be a mix of both. But to them, it is true.
Yes.
And so regardless of whether it's actually true or not, to them, it is true. And we will defend our beliefs to the grave until we're finally given like the permission inside ourselves to let that defense mechanism go and replace it with a new story. And so I agree with you, Mark, her defensiveness and like saying, I don't feel heard. So I want you to like, I want to prove this is actually only feeding a story more. And so we need to pull back away from that and get to the first steps, which is gaining a perspective into why they're feeling this way. So, yeah.
We might say this in another way, but you're right. Yeah, that there's that perspective part. They're really trying to understand and have empathy for your partner. Another way we might say this is having a high amount of respect or consideration for what they're saying, even if it might not make sense. And I run into this all the time. When a spouse is saying, hey, I'm done and I'm moving out. And then we have our clients who are trying to hold on to the marriage so much and defending their own point to the point where the other person does not feel considered or respected or validated with, you know, what they consider to be very legitimate fears and concerns. Which turns into this weird, it doesn't make sense if you just look at it on the surface. So essentially what Heather and I are saying is, like, he's not actually right in that she's doing all these wrong things, but you have to actually almost, it's not pretend like he's right, but consider how he could possibly be right or how he could have come to that conclusion. There has to be some support of this unhealthy view before you can set that view aside.
Right. Otherwise, he will not lower that defense mechanism because he thinks it's keeping him safe in some way. And we all do that.
Like I said, it's the very good analogy is the spouse who's leaving and moving out and separating. Is you have to consider them moving out and separating and respect that before they could even consider dropping that. Mm-hmm. Right? Which, and this is a hard concept to get through. Like, hey, I have to have some amount of acceptance in what my spouse is saying about me, you know, before they'll even consider something else.
Right.
Like a lot of people say, well, if I play into this a little bit, if I validate this at all, isn't it just going to support this idea that they're right? And that's not the case. And it's, I don't know. I don't know if I'm explaining myself right. It's not just giving in. That's not what I'm saying.
It's very counterintuitive. And I know a lot of you have joined like our masterclass, and I'll often talk about this point here where we get to the understanding part and I'll ask you guys, like, what does this feel like when I communicate in this way? And I give like an example, which I've learned from you, Mark, and we, you know, like this is exactly what I teach our clients, right? Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, I really care about you, and whether this marriage works or not, I want you to be happy. I want to understand where you're coming from. I want to be a better version of myself. Can you help me with that? Right. And that, so you've taken the pressure off and you've increased understanding. And what's interesting is a lot of people say, okay, that feels really safe. I can see how if I communicate in that way, my spouse will open up and we'll start to build a bridge here. We'll start to build, you know, bridge that gap and create some real understanding through empathy. But then some people are like, that feels scary to me because it feels like I'm giving up. Or I'm telling them that they're right and they're not right. And it's kind of one of those times where you have to decide, like, do I want to be right? Because you are right, right? If they're accusing you of these things and you aren't doing them, then you are right. You're not doing them. It's one of those times you got to kind of decide, do I want to be right? Or do I want to solve this? Do I want to be right? Or do I want to have a happy marriage? And it's not saying that, that their view is right, but it is building what we call like a bridge so that you can both understand where you're coming from and then start to work together. So we can lower those self, you know, those defense mechanisms and work together as a team there.
Yeah. I mean, this reminds me of like other theories, other authors that I've read about. I remember this one guy, I'm blanking on the name, but he would talk a lot about getting to some common ground, some common goals, common purposes, finding areas to agree on in order to lower a lot of the defenses. And it sounds like that's what you're talking about right there. So we have the situation. And once again, clearly there's something going on with the husband and he's gone a bit overboard. But the other side of this that we pointed out right at the beginning was that this woman is starting to lose some of her feelings for her husband because of all of this. And I think that if we just all we said was, you know what, you need to drop some of your defenses and really consider what your husband is saying, it runs the risk of still feeling, you know, still going deeper into this problem here, would be my concern with this. So in terms of weary, you know, like this weariness, this, you know, trying to really work on your marriage and then just getting tired of it. I want to know what your thoughts are on that. And, you know, I know Heather, for a long time, you were, you've been our mindset expert, you know, within the organization. So well, let's talk about that for a moment.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. So that weariness, and I know a lot of you can relate to that. Like, I've been working so long, I'm not really seeing progress, or I'm just like, how long do I have to be the only one working on this thing? Right. How long do I have to do this? Right. What I find, what happens kind of at the root of weariness is that you've lost sight of the mark that you're really wanting to hit. And, you're getting bogged down with the process. And another reason, again, why we do the wins is to fuel the process and keep the positive momentum going there. But there's a lot of things that haven't probably happened in this specific situation, and in probably a lot of the people that relate to this. And going through the PATH process, the first thing that we always want to do is do that root assessment and uncover exactly what's going on. Otherwise, what most people do is they guess at what's going on, or they guess at what needs to be fixed. They get into fight, flight, or freeze, and they get in either to a ton of action, thinking that they're just going to do all these things and it's going to work. And what happens is it's usually ineffective, or it backfires, or they get into freeze where they end up doing nothing because they're afraid. And so then their spouse pulls further away from them, or they assume that they know exactly what needs to be done, and then they get it completely wrong and it backfires or it's ineffective. So instead of guessing or assuming or freezing, we want to really understand exactly what needs to change so that then every action that we make is as effective as possible. So yeah, if you're going in just getting into action, or just kind of feeling like you're acting out of fear and you're like a chicken with their head cut off and you're just feel like you're all over the place, that will wear you to the ground. If you assume that you know what to do, and you like assume that, you know, I've got this cancer tumor, which I did, you know that most of you have been following us, right? And I assume I know how to fix it. I say, okay, I've got this lump, I'm just going to go do surgery on myself. Would that end well if I just like, I'm just going to cut it out, right? No, that would exhaust me too. And it would be absolutely ineffective. It would completely backfire. And then the freezing part, that's exhausting too, because even though you're not taking action, you know, you are making a decision not to take action. So that is a decision, which then causes things to happen. So Mark, what is really going on there in your opinion? Like, I see that this is coming from not really having a clear direction on where they're going, or the correct path to get there. Path, yes, our PATH method. I'm going to put it in there. But they don't have the correct direction of where they want to go, or the correct actions to take every day, which then do lead to a lot of burnout and weariness. What do you think is really going on there,
Mark? No, I think your point is very valid there. I think it's spot on. I think it's there's some other pieces too, but I want to comment on what you said first. So yes, if you put in a lot of effort expecting something to change and then it doesn't, what, I mean, that's just naturally going to really drain any amount of hope that things could be different. Exactly what you're saying there. And so it is really important that if the problem is big enough that you get the right kind of help, the right kind of support, so your effort isn't wasted and that hope is lost. The other piece here, though, is even, you know, if we're tying this back to our PATH method, you know, I often will talk about having perspective or understanding or empathy for your partner. But, you know, at a certain point, you need to have some understanding for yourself and, you know, make sure that you understand what you need here. In this case, you know, just like her husband, who's not feeling heard or validated. As she is defending herself and her husband pushes back against that, this woman also does not feel heard or validated. And this is you know, it shouldn't be amusing, but this is the slightly amusing piece to me, is that oftentimes that within a relationship, the very same problem on one side is happening almost exactly the same on the other side. So like this person saying, "You're so controlling and, you know, you never listen to me," is also really trying to control things and is not listening to their partner. In this case here, I would be guessing that she is feeling like she's saying there's this constant stress around him. And she's probably feeling a lot of that weariness from constantly feeling like she has to defend herself, that she's not trusted, that she's worried that whether her behavior is going to be looked on as, as something negative. And I don't know if everyone can hear that, but it sounds like one of my children is starting to wander near the office door. There needs to be some balance at some point. Now, obviously, like where Heather and I start with the PATH method, we assume that most of you are in a decent state of mind, that you're saying, okay, I want the marriage to work. So we do say, okay, we lean on you all a little bit more heavily. After all, you're the ones here, you're listening to us. So we often will say, okay, let's put some of your concerns aside for a moment, because there does need to be some some effort to draw your spouse in. But if it's getting to this point where you are losing motivation, losing interest, it tells me that this is very out of balance and that you're very much at risk of losing the relationship, because you're going to lose that motivation. And so there does need to be some boundaries. There does need to be some amount of self-respect to balance out that validation and that listening and that, you know, gaining that empathy for your husband. So in this case, you know, what that might look like, I want to give a very concrete, specific example that applies to here. She might say, "Hey, look, I can see that this is very much a concern of yours, and I want to help you figure this out, but I'm going to point out that this hurts. I want to help you, but I'm going to have some lines. I'm not going to hear accusations, or I'm not going to have you call me names or whatnot, but I'm going to help you." It's about being like confident in yourself, confident in your support. I think just overall confidence is a good stance, and sounds like in this situation here.
I love that. So how could people that maybe aren't going through this, you know, exact situation, how could they apply this in a broader sense? You know, say that there's just this level of distrust, maybe, you know, maybe not like this level of paranoia, but accusing them of things that they aren't doing, maybe checking on their phone, just a lot of distrust going. How could they apply this to them?
I think the key principle here is respect. And now when I'm talking about respect, I'm going to, you know, there's going to be different pieces to this, but I always talk about respect as in consideration. And so when I'm talking about respect, that means, you know, if we're trying to have this healing amount of respect, we're going to be talking about like a heavy amount of empathy. And this is what we're talking about today. Why is this husband, you know, how could they possibly come to this sort of conclusion? You know, if it's something less severe, the same sort of question, like your spouse doesn't believe you, doesn't believe that you're being faithful, even though maybe you actually had an affair and you've turn the corner and you say, okay, why is this a valid concern for my spouse? And then there needs to be support. You know, this does not mean that you give in. Like in this case, I'm not suggesting that this woman say support her husband saying, "Yes, I've been cheating," even though she hasn't been. But it's looking at, what does my spouse need from this request? In this case, her husband needs to feel safe and needs to feel heard. So I very much like to break down the complaint into what is this, like if we were to resolve this complaint, what would it provide? So, you know, if you're seen as supporting those things, if she were seen to support her husband feeling safe and heard, and was able to get to a point where she's able to cooperate with her spouse on this, I imagine a lot of this would, the intensity of this would drop. Maybe it might not go away completely, but the intensity would certainly drop. So it's all about respect.
Yeah. And then bringing in that self-respect as well, yeah, and having empathy for yourself, and bringing in those healthy boundaries that you might need to do to say, hey, this hurts me, but I want to help you, but this is what I need to do. This is what needs to happen. Right. And that's where we can come in as an expert to help guide you through those conversations and through what exactly needs to happen there so that you're not left guessing or assuming and have it be something that backfires or isn't ineffective. But that's why we're here, to help guide you through those specific challenges, diagnose exactly what's going on, and give you the exact treatment that's going to help turn this thing around as fast as humanly possible. So, yes, how do you get back on track?
Yeah, so you were talking about that earlier, and I wanted to revisit this idea, because you're saying one of the big things that was going on here, in terms of losing hope, is you were saying that she was losing sight of the goal. And I'm wondering, Heather, if you had some thoughts there on, you know, maybe how she can adjust how she looks at this, or maybe how she can adjust some of the goals to get away from some of this hopelessness or loss of love.
Yeah. So with anyone, having a 30,000 foot view of your situation, so kind of like pulling yourself out of the chaos and the drama and the emotions, right, that we get so kind of stuck in, a lot of really big cycles there. But just to have like a really 30,000 foot view and ask yourself those things, like, what do I really want? Where do I want my marriage to be 3 months from now, 3 years from now, 30 years from now? And really listen to that. And sometimes it's really clear and easy for people to say, I want this. I want to feel safe. I want to feel respected. I want to feel heard. I want to feel passionate. I want to feel connected. I want them to come home. I want them to stop talking about divorce. I want them to put their wedding ring back on, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes it's really hard for people to see that vision. And I understand that when I'm in the hardest, like, depths of the challenging, you know, situation, sometimes it's hard to see anything other than what you're in right now. And so a good place to start is with what you don't want, and then find its opposite. An analogy that I think has helped me a lot to stay focused on that end goal, that end result, when you get clarity on it, is that my husband's a pilot, and I've learned that 99% of the time pilots are actually off course. And what they do is, you know, they chart their destination. They choose a little tiny dot on the map of where they want to go. But then when they get up in the aircraft, there's things that they cannot control, and there's things that they did not expect. You know, there's a huge gust of wind or an unexpected storm, or air traffic tells you have to go around because of something, right? And what they do is that, you know, being off course 99% of the time, they make these course corrections. Sometimes they're little tiny course corrections, and sometimes they're really big course corrections. But they make these course corrections, and eventually they get to their destination. And so for you to decide, this is where I want to be, like, this is the kind of relationship I want to have, this is how I want to feel when I wake up in the morning, and really getting clarity on what that looks like, what kind of vacations you want to go on. I mean, like, just like really building out a very tangible vision of what you want your reality to be, and then holding fast to that. So you decide what destination you want, and then we here at High Thrive Coaching are there to help you make those little course corrections to get you there. And as you start to make progress, like day by day, step by step, you start to build really positive momentum. And positive momentum is the antidote for weariness and hopelessness, because you see that I am making progress, and it might be only an inch today, but heck, it's better than what I was yesterday. And you keep building on that, and that gains more and more positive momentum. And then now you've shifted from a state of weariness, hopelessness, to optimism, and to actually realizing the reality that you want come about in your life.
It reminds me of the Earl Nightingale analogy, and Heather, you know what I'm talking with the speech, The Strangest Secret. Now he uses it instead of a plane, he uses a ship as the analogy. And he talks about, hey, you know, most of the time if a ship sets out and you have a course and you have a good crew on there, the ship's probably going to get to where it needs to go. But if you just kind of let the ship loose and you don't put a crew on there, you don't have a direction, it's probably going to wind up washed up on some beach somewhere. We could take that same sort of thing with the plane that you're talking about and having all these course corrections, or the ship, or we could even use another vehicle. We could talk about a car. You kind of need to, what I wanted to add here is there needs to, you know, beyond just having a specific goal, I think it's very helpful to know how to get to that goal, which is what you were talking about as well. You're saying, hey, that's what we're here for. A lot of people might say, I want that passion in my marriage again. I want that connection. I want my husband or my wife to feel, I want to feel close to them again. And that's wonderful. Having that goal, it's sometimes we get stuck, just like this person who says, okay, I should be defending myself. I should be telling my husband I'm not doing this. And when that's not getting her what she wants, she's losing hope. And I think all these, it's really hard sometimes to know all those steps in between to get there. It took me years to really feel confident in basically all the advice that I was giving. It took a lot of studying. It took a lot of books read, a lot of articles read, a lot of it stuff before, you know, we really, where I'd consider myself an expert. But, you know, we've been doing this for a long time. And that's what we're here for.
Right. So with that being said, if you feel like you want that direction and you're like saying, I know I want to get there, but I still don't know how, I still don't know if it's really possible for me, we can show you exactly the steps to take. And so I encourage you to book a complimentary consultation with us at highthrivecoaching.com/apply. Awesome. So any final thoughts about this before we go to our marriage mythbuster?
No, I think we're good. I think we should.
Awesome. Okay. Just know that if you're in that situation right now where your spouse isn't trusting you, they're disbelieving what you say, there are things that you can do now to get on the right course, to turn that around and to build the happy, thriving marriage that you want long term. All right. So our marriage mythbuster, and if you're good, I'm going to take this one and then you can add to it, Mark, is that I heard this again just yesterday in another marriage group. But the advice was given that if your marriage is struggling, that to save your marriage, or if your marriage is on the rocks, you just need to work on yourself. If you guys have been in the group, you know, I've touched on this a couple times. However, it's so pervasive. It's this really like blanketed advice that's given out there. And it was given by another marriage expert, not going to name names, doesn't matter. But the idea
there's so many people out there that do recommend this. It could apply to any number of experts out there.
Yeah. And so this idea, like I raise my own hand. I've been told this, like, if your marriage is struggling, just work on yourself. I get where it's coming from. And I bet you do too, Mark, because we need to focus on things that we can control. We know we can't control our spouse, so we focus on us. However, here's what happens, okay? We would even say in the past, you know, like, just work on yourself, make these positive changes. And we would ask our clients, how are you doing with that? And they'd be like, I'm doing great. I'm losing weight. I'm getting into shape. I work out of the gym all the time. Or I work less. I'm home more. I do the dishes. I'm with the kids. I listen. I'm more patient. I stopped drinking. I stopped ignoring them. I stopped the affair, right? I stopped whatever the bad behavior was. They say, like, I meditate, which we encourage meditation. And then we would ask them, well, how's your marriage? And they'd still be like, ah, we're still getting a divorce. And so what we know is that working on yourself is good for you. It is. And we're all about improving your life and helping you thrive and be the better version of yourself, because that's awesome. It is. But it and of itself is not the solution for saving your marriage. Okay. And the solution is to change their story and their beliefs about you. Because unless you do that, then all the positive changes you make in the world, right, are not going to make a difference to them. They're still going to hold on to their belief about you. And so that is why we have our PATH method, that shows them that we've changed, instead of hoping and praying and wishing and notice, like that they'll notice that these are the changes that we've made. We make them notice that these are the changes, and we build on that attention to build connection, and then to build, you know, deep lasting love and security. So with yeah. that said, working on yourself, good for you, but it's not the end all solution to turning a relationship around.
Yeah, I think this is, it's a good point to make because, you know, I think it does tie in a little bit to what we were saying before in terms of goals and knowing how to get to there, those goals. So for instance, like what you were mentioning, a lot of these examples of working yourself, maybe you're working out and going to the gym, maybe you were doing this or that, except, you know, those all might be good, but it might not be exactly what's needed. And as you put it, you know, oftentimes they might say, yeah, you've made a lot of changes, but I just, you know, I don't believe that these changes are permanent, or I don't believe that your motivation for this is genuine, or any number of other things there that really get in the way. You know, I can think of a time in my marriage where I was thinking, you know, I'm working really hard. I'm really trying to support my wife. I'm there for her. I try to spend a lot of time with her. And I was wondering why are we kind of at this rocky point? It wasn't like a huge, like terrible point in our marriage, but it was rocky and it was lasting for some time. And I recognized it was because, you know, we were both making efforts. But I didn't recognize the efforts that my wife was making. She didn't recognize mine. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of things getting in the way. And that's what we're talking about right here. You might be doing a whole lot of good for yourself, and it might not be clicking quite right with your husband or wife. They might not be recognizing it. They might not know why you're making these changes. And, you know, that explanation, why is my spouse making these changes? And, you know, is this actually, you know, genuine change? And are they trying to do this for me? Do they actually love me? All these little things, what Heather's talking about, the narrative or the story, isn't really generally affected by these shifts unless you know how to handle that. So yeah, absolutely, that's why we have this path method. That's why we focus a lot on this narrative when we are working with clients, so that they can start to see you as, you know, a genuine person who actually cares. They start describing you differently.
Yeah, describing you and the marriage differently.
Yes.
Yep, that's exactly what it's designed to do. Awesome. Thank you, Mark. And thank you, everyone, for joining us today. I hope that this is helpful for you and that you're able to take action to move yourself forward in a positive direction today. Now, next week, we're going to come back on and share with you what to do when they won't stop an affair. All right. And I think that'll tie in well a little bit with the weariness and the hopelessness that we talked about, and a few things that you can start to do differently to see some really different results for you. So thank you, Mark. And thank you, everyone. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.